you, God. Great and marvelous are your works, O God. Hallelujah. We bless you forever and ever. Let everybody say amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, while you're taking your seats. Would you do this? Would you just greet three people as you get ready to go to your seats? Our children are going to be separated now for children's ministry. Let's stand real quickly, if you could, and just greet three people. If you can, just three people real quick. Three people real quick. Come on, move to three people real quick. Real quick. Three people. Real quick. Real quick. Three people. Amen. Amen. You got your three in? You got your three people in? Thank you, Lord. You did five. Amen. Amen. You get extra points. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Thank you for the welcome back. Amen. Amen. We're glad to be back. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. We've been looking forward to being here. We thank God for all that he's doing. Well, let's go to work. Let's go to work. Let's just jump right in. How is it possible that we are God's children and we are a congregation focused on the will of God, being led and guided by the Holy Spirit? How is it then that we as a church could be struggling with our finances? That's a question we have to ask. How is that possible? What exactly is causing our financial struggles? There are many explanations, but what is it? Are we the people of God? And as the people of God, God meets every need. So how is it that we can be the people of God and being sensitive to the Holy Spirit? How could God talk to me last night and I be struggling with my finances today? And I knew it was God. I've had him do things like that in the past. But what exactly causes our financial struggles? And we cannot just immediately jump over and make it a spiritual issue. We have to look at all the issues. One reason that we get in trouble as Christians is because of a lack of discipline. We can have a lack of discipline in our lives. Some people will live from one paycheck to the next paycheck, and they will spend as much as they can spend. Some people, they talk about money burning a hole in their pocket. If you give them $10, they're going to spend $10.20. Amen. And other people, you give them 10, they're only going to spend a dollar and save the 9. But some people get a check on one day, they will go to the mall the next day, and in 2 or 3 days, all the money is gone. They will get paid, and you will find them struggling financially, but they're eating out at a restaurant that costs a lot of money, amen? They're eating out, they're wasting their money by consuming it, and then they're wanting God to help them. I was reading about one lady that was struggling. She wasn't able to pay her rent. But she was able to buy cigarettes. And she was able to shop at the convenience store. She was able to go to the fast food restaurants. But she was wondering, would God pay her rent? Are you listening? Didn't have the money to pay her rent. Didn't have the money to make it. But she was wasting her money on a whole lot of stuff that she didn't need to waste her money on. She was undisciplined in her behavior. She just wasted her money all the time. So one of the reasons to be without money or to be in financial trouble could be that we are undisciplined, that we are wasting money. Another reason could be just plain old disobedience and sin. Anybody know about that? You can be spending money on the wrong things, and therefore you don't have money. You can be disobedient with tithe and offering. Amen, somebody. There may be people in this fellowship in the leadership position who are not honest with God with regards to tithe and offering. When you're in leadership in a ministry and you're not honest with your tithe and offering, you bring a curse on the rest of the membership. And the curse is that people who are doing their part now have to do their part and the part you are not doing. In fact, tithing is a statement of fellowship, not just to God, but how we care for one another. Because there's a blessing that we unite together. There's a corporate blessing that takes place when everybody is obedient in their part. But some of us are in disobedience. Some of us are in outright sin that we are just stealing from God. And as a result of that stealing from God, it leaves a door open for the enemy to come in and to cause a lot of problems in the fellowship. In the fellowship, you have to do your part, and the other person has to do their part. So I can be running into financial problems because of not having a disciplined life, be buying things that I don't need to buy. I can also run into financial problems because God is not number one in my life, and because he's not priority, then I rob him. And God says, when you rob him, what will he do? Yes, you are cursed with a curse, right? And the curse comes upon your life, and it affects the people next to you that you're fellowshipping with. Another reason that we can be in financial trouble, some people are into greed. They want it all for themselves. All they want to do is bigger barn. Some people are just poor money managers. It would be a waste from God to give you more when you don't handle well what you have. Are you listening to me? It would be a waste. You might as well say amen. This is the easy part. Amen. It would be a waste from God to give you more when you're not managing well what you have. And so some people are in trouble, and they're wondering if God will help them. And they are in trouble today, but they're wasting everything God has given them. Some people are confused with what they want and what they need. You don't need everything you want. Wake your neighbor up. What's the name of the book? What's Al Gore's latest book? The Absence of Reason, is it? Inconvenient Truth, that's the one about the global climate. The one where he talks about what's happening to us in society. The Assault of Reason. Look it up. Amen. It's something like that. In that book, he goes through a scientific description of what has happened to society. Do you know psychologically, they have studied society in ways to know how to make you think you need something that you don't really need. And to make you think you need it so you will want it. It's called, there's a term for it. It's called some kind of obsolescence. They can build into a project a way that project will make you, where you will feel that you need a new one, even though you don't need another one. They can build it into the process of what you're doing, so you will always be chasing after what they want you to chase after. You will want stuff that you don't really need. Okay, open your closet at home. Okay, and look at how many things do you have in your closet that you haven't worn in 2 years. Not just 1 year. Open your cupboard. Walk through your house and look at the accumulation of stuff. And now you have to get the newest thing. So you can get into financial trouble by being confused between what you want and what you really need. You follow? And I'm not knocking having good things. God doesn't have a problem with you having good things. I'm talking about getting in trouble because you can't afford what you think you need when you already have what you need. Amen? You got to understand that. So you can get into trouble because you're confused between what you want and what you really need. Somebody please pray for me. I hear you, Lord. Let me go back over these points again. You ready? Number one, we can get in trouble because of lack of discipline. What is lack of discipline? You don't have a spending plan. Somebody say spending plan. Every member of Spirit of Life is supposed to have a spending plan. Amen? You ought to be on a budget. Amen. Know what you're doing, what you're spending your money for. Amen. You will find that if you look at your spending plan, if you do it properly, you will find you have extra money to move ahead. Some people are always wanting to move ahead, but they're spending their future in their present by not wisely putting money aside or using the money properly. You remember I told you some people didn't get out of New Orleans not because of God, but because when God gave them the gas money, they smoked it up or drank it up or chickened the money up. You know what I'm talking about? Just chomping on it, and it got a good chicken breast or a good chicken leg or some hot wings, and they didn't have the money to get out of town. They couldn't buy gas to leave. And then they were praying, well, God help me. No, I helped you and you ate it. Undisciplined living. Are you following that? And then the other thing I said, disobedience and sin. Sin cost. Amen. You have to pay extra to cover up the mess that you're into. Amen. In disobedience, you're fighting against God. Sin cost. And then greed and poor money management and confusion. So these are some of the things you literally have to look at. Is God going to help? Why should God help? What's going on? Why is this problem recurring over and over and over again? So as a ministry, we had to look at our spending. We had to look at how we're doing things, how we're managing. Can we cut back any fat? If we keep cutting, we won't just not have fat, we won't have bone, amen? You got to have bone, you got to have blood to make it. So these are some of the things we had to look at as a ministry. Here's something else I looked at. One of the reasons for our trouble, so beyond the tithing and the offering among leaders in the ministry who are not faithful with God with their tithing, all right? That's one of the problems that we have in the ministry. If all of the ministry leaders were faithful in their tithing, God would provide in a way that his miracles would take place over and over again. So there's a break in the covering over the house because everyone in leadership is not faithful with their tithe and their offering. Another reason, though, on the other side, why we're having trouble is found because we are literally being tried by the word of God. God is allowing us to go through this test to see whether or not we believe he is real. Let me say that again. You got to look at the disobedience issues, right? You have to look at the money management issues. You have to look at the discipline. You have to look at the greed, all of that kind of thing. And when you eliminate those things or get those in order, if you're out of order, repent and get those right. But the other thing we have to look at, God is allowing us to be tried by his word. Go with me to Psalms 105. I'm going to make it very plain. Psalms 105. And we're going to look at verses 17 through 19. We are literally being tried or tested by the word of the Lord that's been given to this house. Psalm 105, I'm going to read verses 17, 18, and 19, and probably down to 22. Amen. The word of God is good. I'm just sorry. It just gets good. Okay, let's start with verse number 17. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant. Do you see that? So who are we talking about? Joseph, and Joseph was sold as a servant or a slave, right? You know about that. 18, whose feet they hurt with feathers, or when they put the shackles on him, they hurt him. He was laid in iron. So who are we talking about? Joseph. So he went before them. He was sold as a servant. His feet they hurt with feathers. He was laid in iron. 19, until what happened? Until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord did what? So Joseph had received a word from the Lord. And until the time of that word came, the Bible said the word tried him. And while he was being tried, he was released into slavery, right? He was abused with feathers. He was fetters. He was laid in iron. Verse number 20. It says, then the king sent and loosed him. This is after the word tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and did what? Let him go free. 21. And what did he do? He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance to bind his princes at his pleasure and to do what? Teach his son. So now, after he had been tried by the word, what happened? The Bible said the king came along and got him, set him free, right? Elevated him in position and put him in a place where he would teach people wisdom. You ready? The word of God that has been given to this house is trying us. There is literally a war over the prophecy over this house. Hear me. When Joseph got the dream, there was hell and retaliation in response to his visions. If you go back to the story of Joseph, you remember when Joseph got the dreams, his brothers got mad at the fact, one, that his father treated him differently. Secondly, because he dreamed. And then they got mad that he told them the dream and he told them their position in the dream. They got mad and his father rebuked him. They did everything they could to shut his mouth. Now, what did Joseph have going for him? Stay with me. What did he have going for him? Huh? He had the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came. I've given you a dream. The word of the Lord came. So as the word of the Lord came into his life, then the word began to try him. Stay with me. They turn around and do everything to shut his mouth up, right? They put him in a pit. You remember that? The word was trying him. Can you hang on to the dream and the vision in the pit? I'm down there in the pit, and now I get up out of the pit, and I go to Potiphar's house, right? And I end up in Potiphar's house. The wife turns against me, lies on me about rape, listen, which should have been punished by death. It was not a misdemeanor. Now, this is real serious now. You're talking about you love me. Now, you're trying to kill me. And a few minutes ago, you're trying to get with me. Listen, and the word was trying him to see, can you stay with the dream and the vision with a death penalty hanging over your head? He gets out of jail. Well, he goes into jail, you remember? And he prophesies in jail. They put him over all of the prisoners in jail, right? The word trying him. We're going to let some people get out of jail and you stay in jail. And the word trying you, are you going to stay with the dream and the vision and to know God is going to help you and you are in jail and they're getting out? The word of God trying him. He gets out of jail based on his anointing. This is one of the reasons why we have been going through hell in this house. This is one of the reasons why demons have literally been lining up 24/7 against this house in ways that he hasn't been against other ministries. It's because our prophecies have been seen to be what it is, and the devil is trying to keep us from getting what is rightfully ours in the spirit realm. No, you got to hear me now. We got to deal with disobedience. We got to deal with sin. We got to deal with a poor money management. But we also need to know that the devil has seen what is in your life. The devil knows that if some of you in this house would ever get free in God, you will give God more pleasure than you ever allowed the devil to use you to give God hell. Listen to me. That's why there's hell in your life. Satan knows where you're headed. He knows what God has said over you. So what does the devil do? He tries to get you attached and caught up in a whole lot of other mess to keep you bound down. There's a fight over you. And it's not over you, about you rather. It's about your future. It's about what God has called you to do. And so the devil has come along to fight you. Can you still believe, even when everything around you is all messed up? Can you still believe when you look in the mirror and you are messed up? Can you still believe as the word of God tries you? God is saying, I'm going to pull it off based on my word. You're being tried and tested. Do you know the word of greatness and destiny has come to you and you have been tried and tested today? Oh, hear me now. You're going through a trial right now because you received a prophetic word, and your prophecy is what the enemy is trying to stop, to keep you from being the Joseph God called you to be. Joseph's trial started, listen, as soon as Joseph opened his mouth and began to tell people what God had told him. Listen to me. You can't tell most people what God is doing with you because most people won't even understand what God is doing, and they will get jealous when you are opening your mouth to show them how to get blessed. Y'all not hearing, you're not hearing me. Brother Turpo got on me, Sister Turpo, he got on me. I got up one Sabbath, we had met with the men in the mountain, you remember? And we studied real estate, we talked about it, we yoked up, four of us yoked up, and we said, we're gonna get us some real estate. We came down from the mountain, God blessed me with a wonderful woman that knows what to do with a dollar. Lord Jesus, she must be a president or something, I don't know. But if you give her a dollar, I mean, We got the first place and we were moving on and got more information. Brothers, let's press on. I got another place. I came to the church shouting and praising God. God bless me. Do you know Brother Turpo came to tell me, Pastor, don't tell anybody else anymore when you're getting blessed because they start hating on you. I wonder why they hating on me. I'm trying to tell you I got another one. I can show you how to at least get one. And now that I got two, I can show you how to get two. And if you weren't hating on me, we could yoke up together and get all the way in to where we ought to be. But no, they get jealous. They don't understand. They think you're bragging. I ain't bragging. I'm celebrating that God took little old me and made me out of something I would never be without him. Bragging because I came on up out of the pit. Oh, and I know how to tell you how to get out. I will guarantee that I know how to tell you how to get out of the pit. Because I've been there. I've been with pit dwellers. I had a friend that we used to tease him all the time. We would hit the bottom, and he would get a backhoe and dig a new bottom. Amen. Every time we look, he's getting deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. But we know the way out of the pit. You can't tell some people about what God is doing in your life. They start hating on you. It's horrible pastoring a church where people will hate on you, amen. Become jealous. Your neighbor will spend sleepless nights trying to figure out how to take your man because they don't have a man. Trying to take your wife because they don't have a wife. Trying to figure out how to get your money because they're not willing to go to the job. It's a hateful thing to be in a church like that where you can't trust your neighbor. Where you can't just sit down and praise God for what he's doing for me. Because you get all bent out of shape because ain't nothing happening to you. But the wine is trying you also. Now, if you cry like I cry, then God will give you what he gave me. Get honest with yourself, he will give you. But no, they're trying to figure out how to sell you off behind your back. How to make a deal, how to betray you, or how to get you to compromise. Because you won't sleep with them, Miss Potiphar. And when you don't, they lie and claim rape. Now, it becomes something different. One moment I wanted you, now I want you dead. She had to know. She had to know. Joseph, come on. And you know, you got to get with me. No, I don't want you to reject me now. Then you're going to die. I'm going to tell my husband, not that we were together, but I'm going to show him that you tried to rape me. You are somebody that ought to be killed. That was a capital charge she made. And the favor of God. They would tell you that you're crazy. Anybody ever told you you're crazy? Yeah, that you're stupid. Matter of fact, people would tell you you're crazy and stupid for coming to this church. Amen, somebody. I have met people outside of church that told me the devil was up in church. And I was saying, I didn't see him until I came out and I saw you. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Now, we're trying to run the devil outside of the church. I know what we're doing in here. We're not playing. Don't blame us that everybody else ain't right. Amen. I haven't found a church in the world where everybody is right. Haven't found one in my life. They tell you you're stupid. They tell you we can't do it. Amen. They tell you, we can't do it. You can't do it. You can't do it. Well, if God be for you. Amen. God works things out. Amen. God works things out. And God says if the entire world is against you, he will line up to help you. Somebody ought to celebrate with me. I know I got another testimony building in me. Amen. Coming down the road, the Lord reminded me the other day that years ago I said that I wanted a doctorate degree. You know, I said I wanted it. But I wanted a doctorate degree so I could testify as to where God brought me from. You see, from Imperial Courts Project, from watching people in Jordan down, from folk laughing in our car when we would come to church, we had a rust-colored 55 Buick that needed water about every mile or so, amen. We would have gallons of water, I'm not lying, in our car going to church. If we had a long trip, we brought a whole lot of water, amen. Amen. We had one car in Normandy. We used to have to park on the hill around the corner from the church because we had to get in the car and let it roll down the hill in order to get started so we can get home. Sandwiches with bread ends day after day to where when you get a regular piece of bread, you celebrate. Amen. Amen. Folk with regular bread, they would peel the end off of that. No, we had the whole bread in. That was the front and the back. Amen. The whole sandwich. That's all it was. But thank God that he took me out of the pit. He gave me a mind to serve him. He brought me through trials and tribulations, huh? He gave me a mind to turn around and say, you are my God. It doesn't matter what's going on around me. What was Satan's purpose? It's to stop the prophetic word that God had put inside of me. Hear me, write this down. The greater the promise, the greater the opposition. Are you listening to me? The greater the promise. We got a word for you, girl. You ain't going down. You are not going down. Amen. No, none of us in here that want to go with God are going down. Amen. The greater the promise, the greater the opposition, the greater your assignment, the greater your warfare. And today is a good day to turn around. God knows how to fix what's all messed up. Oh, I can testify. I know how to mess things up. And I know how to get with God and he can turn it around. What was meant for evil, God can turn it around and make it good, amen. He can make your enemies your footstool, amen. Not that you're trying to step on them, but God will elevate you to the point as your footstool, you can now drop blessings on them. Your potential in God, somebody please help me. Your potential in God is determined by the amount of opposition you will have. Write it down. Your potential in God is determined by the amount of opposition you will have. Ah, Jesus. If I wanted it easy, I could have it easy. I could go back into the system. I have enough sermons to preach for years and never study the Bible. I got them on disc, just hit it, and they're good messages. They would bless the people of God, but that's not what the word has birthed in me, to hide in the system until retirement. No, that's not what the word birthed in me. No, the word has put destiny inside of me. And that's why the opposition is so great. The reason why Satan is attacking you, turn to your neighbor and say, the reason why Satan is attacking you is that he has figured out you have potential way beyond what you see. Oh, Jesus, help me. Do you know it's actually a compliment? It's actually a compliment when the devil comes after you because it's a statement that you have more ability than you're using right now. You have ability and purpose that's about to come forth, and the devil sees that you're getting brighter and brighter and more on target. Used to be way out in left field, and now you're coming on around, you're about to make it and line up with the purposes of God, and so the devil starts fighting you right here, and you don't think you made any progress, but God is saying, look where I brought you from. Your problem is you don't know who you are. Oh, you think you're just a bass player. No, you're not. You don't know who God made you to be. You are special in the eyes of heaven, and you literally have authority on earth. Let me tell you this. Why is the devil mad? The devil is mad with you because he's seeing God's affection towards you. What do you mean by that? Have you ever noticed that no matter how much stuff the devil throws at you, God has always been there working it out for your good? Oh, that makes the devil mad. Got you all messed up, and God said, I just love you. I'm going to rearrange what they messed up to make it work out for their good. If you're going through hell today, listen to me. If your body is in pain, if your finances are low, if your family is in trouble, if your job is being threatened, if fear is creeping back in, is worry living at your door, if loneliness is eating you up like cancer, somebody, loneliness is gnawing at you today. In the name of Jesus, I command it to go, because you're starting to agree with dying, and it's not time for you to die. It's time for you to live, because God has more for you to do. In the name of Jesus, you got to watch a depression coming, sorrow coming, shame coming. When you lose hope and it seems like ain't nothing working, that's your prophecy being tried. Because sometimes the only thing you have today is what God said yesterday. Are you listening to me? I went back and looked at one of the prophecies. Apostle Williams came in 06 and gave a prophecy. And he was telling me, every vision God gave me is still out there. Are you listening to me? He said, Pastor, you have to tell yourself that your circumstances are not what you saw in vision. This is not the life I saw with bills and pressure and lack of attendance and lack of cooperation. He said, you have to tell yourself that you have seen better than this and stick to that which is better and which God has ordained. So sometimes in praise and worship, I got to turn my back on my saints right here and preach to the saints that God has ordained for me, that are lining up and doing things right, and that got it in my vision, and turn around, and to my surprise, you have lined up and you are committed and you are doing things right. To the saints at Spirit of Life, you need to go home and get a picture of that house and that car again. You need to get a vision of what God has given you. You need to keep the vision before you. Get a picture of the audience you dreamed about, Pastor. Raise your vision. Put it on your door. My wife will tell you, I'm working on my vision wall, amen? And I'm cutting out the house and where I want to live, amen? I've already written about it and how the house will look and how we will meet in the front and what they will be doing when we meet in the front and how I will be praying in the evening over the ocean and looking at the sun setting and saying, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, praise his holy name. And on the other side of the house, be looking at it when the sun is rising and blessing coming up and blessing when the sun going down. But I need to put it as a vision before me. You need to do the same. The job, the degree, the position that goes with the intelligence, where they're listening to you, not dictating to you. You have a relentless commitment to an ordained promise. The Holy Ghost said, don't let me off the hook. Do you know that's a prophetic word to this house? Don't let me off the hook, 2006. Don't feel like you have to take it easy on God. God said to this house, I gave you a word. You have to have the tenacity and the boldness to come to God, and you have the right to expect God to honor his word. We have to say to each other, I have a promise and I'm not going to stagger. You don't need to stagger. You don't need to resign. You have a commitment. You have to have a relentless denial of ordained obstacles. Let me say that again. You have to have a relentless denial of ordained obstacles. I hear you. I hear you. I hear you. When God starts moving you in faith, he ordains obstacles. Your obstacles are simply opportunities for your faith to get strong. Don't accept the no as the no. God will put stuff in your way to make you better as you go on your way. That's how God teaches the weak to say, I am strong. He puts little problems in front of you, and you push it out of the way. And you keep getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Mark chapter 5. Let me give you this whole thing. Mark chapter 5. Hallelujah. This is what's on our house today, and we're breaking it off in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 5, and look at verse number 25. Here's a woman here. Mark chapter 5. What does the Bible say about this woman? She had a what, everybody? For how long? That meant she had obstacles for how long? Are you listening? She had to face obstacles. One of her obstacles happened to be money. She had bad health. But she had another one. As she got close to her blessing, what became the obstacle? What became the barrier? What became the God-ordained barrier for her to struggle through? The crowd. Ordained by God. God could have set it up when she met Jesus on the corner and just hollered out, Jesus, come help me. No, God ordained that you make it through all of these and you realize I've been keeping you alive 12 years with the mess. So now you get here. Don't let a no stop you. Don't be a no control saint. What I heard in my present circumstances became so painful that I was willing to do anything God wanted me to do in order to have a different future. Can you hear me? What I heard in my present circumstances caused me to become willing to do whatever God wanted me to do in order to change my future. I'm willing to do everything God told me to do a long time ago. Sad to say, we were not willing to obey early, but before it's too late, we are willing. We're not going to leave God. We're going to work as hard as we can for God because we want God to work as hard as he can on our stuff. Pain turns the tables. And now you're working hard to get out of the mess you were in. And the only way out is through the plan that God gives you. We need to say, God has not troubled me to hurt me. God has troubled me to bless me. Lord, I repent and I thank you for not giving up on me. I wanted to see my trouble as an attack, and God used my trouble as a blessing. It was an attack, but attack on my attitude and an attack on my lack of confidence in him. You got it? So what are some of the things standing in the way? What are some of the things causing problems in this house? Disobedience and sin. What's another one? Lack of discipline, a big one. What's another one? Fear. Greed. Poor management. Right? You remember we went over those? And then also we are being tried by what? So when you receive a word from the Lord, until that word comes into manifestation, you will be tried to see, can you still believe God in different situations? That's why you come to church every man. I know God is going to help me. Praise the Lord. And then the word tries you. Amen. You leave church. There are your problems. What about the praise the Lord now? Can you praise him in front of a problem? Can you praise him at court? When the judge rules against you? Can you praise him at the doctor's office? When the doctor gives you some really bad news? Can you say like Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust him, or I will only love him as he makes sure I don't have pain in my life? Ah, Jesus. Matthew 17. Let me give you another reason, and we'll stop today. Matthew 17. I need you to hold two passages of scripture, and we want to examine these two. Babe, how long have I been up here? I'm okay? You okay? Matthew 17. And look at verse 14 through 21. And then we want to look at Mark chapter 9. And we're going to 14 through 30. It's the same story, but they describe it differently. And I want us to look at a couple of things. So Matthew 17, verses 14 through 21. And then we want to also keep our hand on Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 30. Do you have those two? Okay, let's start with Matthew 17, 14. When they came to the multitude, Matthew 17, 14, there came to him a what? Certain man, come on, kneeling down to him and saying, verse 15, Lord, do what? Mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he does what? He falls in the fire and off into the water, and I brought him to your disciples, and what happened? They could not cure him. Now, Mark chapter 9. Look at Mark chapter 9. Look at verse 14. Notice how Mark describes it. Jesus, same experience. Jesus, when he was come to his disciples, he saw what around them? A great multitude around them, and the scribes questioning with them. 15. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. 16. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? In other words, why are you questioning the disciples? 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit, and whenever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth the way, and I spake to your disciples that they should cast him out, but they could not, right? Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 17. And verse number 16, I brought him to your disciples, they could not cure him. 17, and Jesus answered and said, oh, what? Faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, you couldn't do it because of what? Your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, what does he say? This kind goes out only by what? Now hear me. Watch this. Here was a father, a what, everyone? Unable to deliver his son. What have we been talking about the last couple of weeks in Spirit of Life? Inheritance, father-son, father-son, daughter relationship, where the father would be able to pass on to the son and to the daughter what they need. Here's a father unable to deliver the son. I've been teaching about father-son order in the house, and there are still some issues that must be changed that have not changed. And they're not changing based on the desires of my heart. So I am like a father running to Jesus, holding the hand of Spirit of Life, who is 9 years old, about to become 10, and we suffer from inconsistency, unbalanced actions, overreactions, sometimes in the water, sometimes in the fire, sometimes sinful, sometimes holy. Not all the way in church, not all the way in the world. And it's been that way with us since the beginning. And the father said, I brought him to the disciples and they couldn't cure him. And Jesus answered and said, oh, faithless and perverse generation. Now, between Matthew and Mark, they make it plain because Mark lets you know there's some scribes around. The perverseness deals with the scribes. But let's look at the faithless part. To be faithless or to be negatively on the faith line, to be on the negative side. We're going this way, huh? Zero and then negative. So where when you start building up in faith, you haven't even made it to the zero point yet. You are minus what you need to start. To be faithless means to be unfaithful or not to be trusted. This word, faithless, oh faithless generation, you're guilty of treachery or deceit. You're disloyal because you pretend one way, but you act and believe another way. Faithless, you're dishonest, you're true. Not me, Jesus, come on, not me. No, unbelieving, unwilling to believe, unable to believe, unconvinced of the power of God. Faithless without trust in God, and that's bad. In church, but not believing anything will be different. Faithless. And then he talks about perverse. Do you know what it means to be perverse? That means to distort or turn aside, to oppose, to plot against the purposes and plans of God, to be corrupt, a pervert, somebody who makes everybody else crooked. So the scribes, who were the teachers of the law, were there questioning Jesus and knowing the law couldn't save, but they're not seeking deliverance, they're just seeking another complaint against Jesus. And what was Jesus' response? He rebuked the devil. And then he went on, and the disciples said quietly, hey, Jesus, how come we couldn't do it? Jesus says, number one, because of your unbelief. Number two, Jesus said something interesting. How be it this, what, everyone? Come on, wake up. I just got a few more minutes. How be it this, what, everyone? Come on, clap 3 times. But no, you need to clap 6 times. You're on this building. Wake up. Come on. All right. Did you count? I mean, you did. Okay. All right. Wake up. How be it this, what, everyone? This kind does not go out except by. This lets us know there are reasons for some of our struggles. There's a kind of spirit that has refused to leave the house, except by the force and power backed up with fasting and prayer. That's why we're fasting on Sunday. What kind of spirit it is? It's the kind of spirit that defies the will of the Father, but it overruns the children. It is a nation of spirits that gang up on a family or gang up on the church that will rob that family or that church of their proper future. And we need to turn around and say back to the devil, devil, we have done what the Lord told us to do, and you need to stop interfering with our future. If you're going through an unusual attack in your life, it's only because you made a turning point. Major attacks are a sign that you turned the corner. Something has changed. What's supposed to be tearing you down actually ends up building you up and making a difference in your life. But this kind has to go. This kind has to go. I'm going to ask the musicians to help me. We're going to deal with this kind. Amen? Amen. We're going to deal with this kind. I believe that God wants to deliver his people, and this to start today. The path to freedom, the path to holiness, the path to righteousness, the path to deliverance needs to start today. And we're going to take authority in Jesus' name. I'm going to ask you just close the doors. We're going to spend some time with ministry. It's too late to leave now. Amen. Hallelujah. It's too late to leave now. Amen. Amen. If you leave now, you make me think you're taking something with you that you need to leave. Amen. Amen. Air conditioning on. We'll get good and comfortable. And we're going to believe God for victory in the name of Jesus. Believe God for victory. The first thing we want to do is bind the enemy in the name of Jesus. Every demonic force that's been bothering us as spirit of life, that's been bothering you individually, Everything that's been dealing with your life, we bind it in the name of Jesus. We take authority over it. Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, we take authority in the name of Jesus that the enemy was bound, and we do not allow him to act out. We do not allow him to behave unseemly. Jesus is the only one in charge here today. Jesus is the center. Jesus is the focus. Jesus is the one that we love, we believe in, and we trust in Jesus' name. Now, the question comes to you as a congregation, do you want to be free? Do you want to be free? Are there things in your life you want to be delivered from, to set free from, to not have that problem ever again bothering you, messing with you, focusing on you, dragging you down? Do you want to be free? You want to be free. Then in order to move into freedom, we got to move into a confession of sin, a forgiveness of those who have troubled us and that we've been harboring against in our lives. We have to deal with that. We let those things go. And then we rebuke the enemy, drive him away, and prepare ourselves this Sunday from 9 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Monday for the power of God to operate and to deal with things in those areas. I want you to stand with me if you're able to stand. And we're just going to renounce some sins in Jesus' name. If they apply to you, fine. If they don't, maybe they apply to your neighbor. But in your own spirit, in your own heart, you will deal with these things and you renounce them. If you want to be free, if you want to be free. I haven't preached a sermon on this. I don't think totally. I made some comments about it. But we need to preach about it, the spirit of homosexuality that's bothering the church, lesbianism, perversion, those areas. We need to talk about it. It is a spirit from the enemy. God did not design three sexes. He designed male and he designed female. And he set men up to desire women. He set women up to desire men. And the enemy has come in and perverted a whole lot of stuff. And we need to bind that in Jesus' name. So, Father, we come confessing sexual sin. If there have been sexual sin in your life, you just release that to God today. Movies that you've been watching that have been inappropriate, that's leading to sexual sin, videos, the internet, pornography there. If you've had dreams that have been pornographic, that is not from God. That is not from God. If things are coming to you at night when you lay down to sleep to lead you into sexual sin, that is not from God. If you've been fantasizing about adultery, amen, somebody else's husband, somebody else's wife, or you're married and you're looking at going outside your relationship, that is not from God. Confess that to the Lord. Fornication, other perversions. In the name of Jesus, Father, we just confess those. We release them into your hand. If you're guilty of those things, you just lift them up in your spirit. I know how you feel. You don't want people to know what you're having to deal with, but you find a way to release that and renounce it in your heart and in your life. If you've been stealing, somebody here just been sneaky with your stealing. I'm not particularly talking about tithe and offering, but there's something you've been stealing, something you've been getting away with. You want to renounce that today in Jesus' name. You've been lying. You know you haven't told the truth. You exaggerated. You made it what? Into something that it was not. You renounce that today in Jesus' name. You've been dealing with the horoscope, the palm reader. You've been dealing with those things. Hallelujah. You've been dealing with those things. You've been talking dirty. Dirty gossip that you've been involved in. Thank you, Lord. You've been saying things out of your mouth that should not have been said, but they're coming up out of your spirit. There's a well of stuff on the inside that should not be there. I mentioned earlier about loneliness. You're giving in to loneliness. You're allowing it to eat at your life like cancer. We renounce those things in Jesus' name. And Father, because we have not renounced them in Jesus' name, we declare, Lord, our desire to be free. Hallelujah. We renounce condemnation in Jesus' name. There's therefore now no condemnation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The enemy coming along to put condemnation over your head. We renounce that today in Jesus' name. Now I want you to take a moment and think about what's happening inside of you. Is there any unforgiveness in your heart? Any person, any situation that you're holding on to? Your mama didn't treat you right. Your daddy didn't treat you right. Your neighbor, your friend, your fiance broke your heart. Whatever the situation may be, the boss. Hallelujah. Whatever the situation is, you renounce that right now in Jesus' name. Father, we forgive those who've done wrong. We forgive them, oh God. Hallelujah. We release them and we declare we don't want them burdened. We don't want them troubled. We release them. Whether it was their fault or not, the fact that we are hurt, the fact that we are bound by it, we release it in Jesus' name. Then I want you to put your hand, if you would, over your heart. Lord, we release ourselves. Hallelujah. We release ourselves from decisions that we've made that we know were wrong when we made them. We release ourselves for decisions, for actions, for thoughts, for attitudes that were unlike you. And we speak forgiveness over our own hearts. We receive your forgiveness. Father, you said if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. And we don't want to be held by the enemy in any way in our life, oh God. We don't want him to hold us, and we seek you for freedom today in Jesus' name. And now, Father, based upon your word, every enemy that we have bound today, we command them to go in Jesus' name. We speak release in the name of Jesus. Every spirit involved with sexual sin, every spirit involved with improper imagination and perverted romance, every spirit involved with stealing and lying, in Jesus' name, we command you to go in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Every drug perversion in the name of Jesus, every satanic and witchcraft involvement in the name of Jesus, we command you to go. The loneliness, the shame, the depression, the grief, the misery, the love of misery, we command you to go in the name of Jesus. We command you to go and declare that we are your children, oh God. We are your children. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to come and fill every void in our life so that we would love you more than we love anything else. In the name of Jesus, fill every void in our life. Hallelujah. So we are whole, so we are healthy, so we are happy in the name of Jesus. Your power, your might flooding through us. We receive that and we celebrate it in Jesus' name. Let everyone say amen. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. I'm going to ask you, when you get home today, go over your notes from today's sermon. If you don't have notes from today, get some notes before you leave. Amen. Some saints took notes. What did we say are the things that bother you and block your blessings, your financial blessings that God is trying to give you? Disobedience, lack of discipline, sin in the life, greed, poor money management, fear. What are some of the other things? The word of God is trying you. Amen. And then the other one, we just ended up in Matthew and Mark. What are those two? Huh? Fasting and prayer. This kind, there is a kind of demonic force that will hold you in the presence of Jesus. If you read the two passages, you know when Jesus confronted the demon, one passage said he just cast him out, and another one, the demon threw the boy down in Jesus' presence, right in his face. And Jesus told the disciples that kind only leaves based on what? Fasting and prayer. And so that's what we're going to be involved with this Sunday. And we're expecting God to do great things, not just for the church, but also for your personal life. Amen? We don't want to be blessed as a body, and then you're struggling in your own life, and you don't have what you need to have from the Lord. Amen? Now, we're preparing to worship God with his giving. I made clear to you the needs on the house right now, where we are. And we're trusting God by faith. We want to be able to mail out to those that are responsible for the mortgage on the house, what we need to mail out this week. And keep believing God for taking care of this thing off of the house. And so I'm asking you today to do everything that you possibly can. Be faithful in God with what you have. If you don't have anything to give, we praise God for your presence here. Amen. Your presence here. We're not building the church on you. Tell your neighbor, pastor's not building the church on you. He's building a church on God. Amen. And what God is doing through you. Let's get that very clear. Amen. As God begins to minister and work through your life, he makes the difference in your life. We'll be very clear about that. So if you don't have anything to give, we talked about it before. People have been embarrassed at church because they have nothing to give. No, you need prayer, amen, to get into a position where you can have something to give. You don't go into embarrassment over that. But you need to know we believe in God in you, but you can unite with us in faith and trust and believe God to do what he's done before, amen. He's done it before. We've been in this place before, and God worked it out, and we're believing he's going to do just the same because his word to our congregation is just that strong, amen. So everybody get a tithe and offering envelope, and we're going to prepare to worship God with our giving. Thank you. Okay. Everyone, if you get a tithe and offering envelope, and we're going to prepare to worship God with our giving. Amen. We want to welcome everyone who's visiting with us. Those of you, if you're first time visiting with us, would you be kind enough to stand? We just want to greet you and thank you. You could have been in any place. Amen. Please remain standing for a moment. Amen. Please remain standing for a moment. Amen. 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 Would you be kind enough to share with us your name? Would you feel comfortable doing that? And where you're from. And we also have a gift. There's a CD that our media team has available for you. If you can get those so we can make sure we place it in their hands before they sit down. Yes, sir. Larry Collins? Amen. 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 Welcome, Larry. Welcome. Amen. 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 Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Anthony from Pasadena. All right. Welcome, Anthony. Amen. Amen. It feels like you should be here, man. You should be here. Yes, sir. Say that again. How do you say that? Yes, I know, but I want to know how to say it. I want to know how to say it. Håkon. And you're from Norway. Amen. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much, my brother. Amen. Amen. We're going to put a CD in your hand, just a small token of appreciation from our part, and we just thank you for visiting with us. So that was Håkon. That was from Anthony from Pasadena, and Larry, who just moved here from Washington. Amen. 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 That's good. Thank God for that. So we're going to get ready to worship God in our giving. If everyone would get your tithe and offering envelopes ready, I have a few announcements I want to share with you as we prepare to end service today. One of the things that we're believing God for, we talked about it, is the $1.2 million, and we're trusting God as we worship him in our giving and praise him for that. We know that he's going to release some things in our life, and so we all want to come faithfully before him. We have two baskets. One is for our building fund. You know what will be happening in this area with the restrooms that will be placed over there. And also our tithe and offering that we're placing in this basket. Let's wave our gifts before the Lord. Father, we thank you today for a wonderful day of giving. We also thank you for the word that you sent to this house so that we can know how we can manage properly before you with the prophetic gifts that you have given us. We thank you that the vision is available and that we are not only coming up out of the pit, But we're coming up out of the pit in a way that we could be a blessing to other churches. Not just always needing ourselves, but in a way we're blessing others. We thank you for it today. In Jesus' name, let everybody say amen. Let's join together as we... Amen, amen. You should have a guide to the 10th anniversary Spirit of Life celebration. Do you have that? It's in your bulletins. You should have the guide to that. It shows our nightly schedule. Our theme is sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And we're looking forward to that. God doing some wonders in our lives, especially here in the fellowship and what will be taking place individually. We haven't had many ads for the brochure. We've extended it one more week. So if you can get those brochure outlines and ads, I need those in no later than next Sabbath. On Saturday, Sabbath, September 29, we will have Bill and Linda Johnson here. We won't have an evening service with them. What they will be doing, though, during the time of our dinner, they will just be hanging out with us and fellowshipping with us that evening. On Sunday, I will be ministering, and my wife, we're leading Spirit of Life into a consecration and communion service. So we're going to have communion and a consecration service at 6 p.m. on Sunday, September 30. I'm asking all the women to come in white or off-white and all the men to come in all black. And we are getting right with God before we cross over into our promised land. And so we're going to have a communion service. Lady Dawson and I will be leading Spirit of Life into that, a consecration service, as well as communion. And God has something that he wants us to straighten out so that we are ready as we cross over. One of the things that we'll be doing as we get near the end of September, actually we will start in October. We've been talking for a while with some of the leaders about what God is doing in our fellowship, and that moving to use a name that reflects where we are now in God. And so we're looking at starting on October 6th, using our corporate name, Spirit of Life Christian Ministries, rather than Spirit of Life Adventist Fellowship. And a number of you know that when we started the ministry, we had the corporate name, so we would not be limited by prejudice based on a denominational stance. But being fully Christian, we will be using that name starting October 6th. And so we don't have to look for a name. God actually gave us a name when we started and moving fully into being Christian. On Monday, October 1st, no meeting. Tuesday, October 2nd, no meeting. On Wednesday, October 3rd, we will have Apostle Dietrich Gates with us. Thursday, no meeting. On Friday, October 5th, we will have Devon Franklin with us and Youth Ministry Night. And then on Saturday, Pastor will be ministering. Again, Lady Dawson and I leading the congregation on that Sabbath at 11 o'clock. And then that night at 7, we're going to have an anniversary fundraising banquet and award ceremony. And so we have the ticket prices in there for adults and children because we will be raising funds. It will be a fundraising banquet. Amen? And so you have the schedule there in front of you, and we're looking forward to all of us cooperating with that together. I think I hit that pretty good. Our praise team, of course, I want to meet with our praise team and band after service
because we want to particularly just continue to minister to them and pray for them and with them. We're giving them a break up until September 29. Amen. And we missed you, but we want you well and good. Amen. And we trust what God is doing in your life. So we will see you after service. We'll just go back here to the room if we could and meet there. God bless you. We're prepared for other announcements.
Yeah, just two quick announcements. One, remember our Journey to Freedom class begins today at 3:30. Journey to Freedom class begins today at 3:30. And then the second announcement, we ask that you please join us after church service today. The intercessors have prepared a special dinner for everyone. Thank you.
The pastor, you know, he said we have some people we have to pray for. Let's keep him in prayer. Before I do the benediction, we're going to have a special recognition at this time of Mr. Jerry Caglice. Come down, Jerry. Jerry has been with us since over at the days of Ephesus. And I remember one Sabbath, we didn't have any band. All the musicians were, there was someone sick, and Jerry was there by himself. You remember that when we were over in the Legacy building? And I think Jerry kind of helped us on the drums, and he just did his thing on the drums. And he's been with us for the whole experience of 10 years. And he's been faithful. He has not complained. I mean, when there was no money, Jerry still played. And he's still an awesome drummer. Awesome drummer. And I just want to thank God for you for giving your talents to the Lord, because he has richly blessed you with such a beautiful talent and gift. And at this time, we want you to just take a seat anywhere you like. You can sit beside your wife, Cheryl. And we're going to dedicate a couple of numbers, Cole and Hakun. Now, Hakun is the one gentleman from Norway. He's a keyboardist, and he is awesome. I mean, he plays, I'm Cole. So Cole